Thank you for that hearty singing. Now, just before we turn to the Word of God, I would like to just pray also. Father, again, as we open the Word of God, Thy Word, we ask for help to understand it. Give clarity, and Father, to speaker and understanding, to listener, Father, that we may just benefit from the Word of God this evening. This we ask, giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Turn with me, please, into the New Testament part of the Bible, into the Gospel according to Luke. If you're not familiar with the Bible, that's the second part of the Bible, the four records of the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. Luke chapter 12, please. Luke chapter 12. We'll take our reading from verse number 16. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them. This is the Lord Jesus, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, fool, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then, whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. That's our reading that I am going to take in. The first thing we noticed in the reading that we've taken together is that the Lord Jesus is speaking a parable to the people. Now you could well ask the question, what is a parable? A parable simply is an earthly story that gives us a picture, an illustration of something, but it has a spiritual or a heavenly meaning. And so when we come to this parable or any parable that the Lord Jesus spoke in the scriptures, we would find that they're earthly stories, easy for us to understand, something that would be commonplace, but we would find in every parable that there would be a spiritual, a heavenly meaning for us to understand. Now, we can understand quite easily this illustration this evening that the Lord Jesus himself gave concerning this man who was basically a very rich, wealthy, prosperous farmer. Now, I don't know whether there's any farmers in the meeting this evening. I do know, actually, there are one or two that live on farms. But I don't know your occupation this evening. But regardless of whether you're a farmer or not, this can have an application. This has meaning. And we want to understand the spiritual meaning of what the Lord Jesus is saying here. For when the Lord Jesus speaks, he doesn't speak for the sake of speaking. As I was considering this little parable, as it would open to us, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the significance of he spake. When the Lord Jesus speaks, we sit and listen. The master teacher, the one who had wise words, the one of whom the people listened to in his day and they said, never man spake like this man. One who out of his mouth proceeded gracious words, and men and women marveled at this one, as they marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. So when the Lord Jesus speaks, we do well to listen. We do not only well to listen, we do well to heed what he says. For again, the Lord Jesus would say time and time again, and particularly through the gospel according to Luke, if you just read through this gospel and note the times that he says that not only hearing, but heeding to what he says. Not only hearing what he says, but being obedient, taking it in, and being obedient to what he says. For I may hear the words of God. I may hear the words of Scripture. But if I do nothing about them, what is the word? So this evening again, we sit together. And we reverently sit up together. And we reverently take note that this is not just a mere man or a spiritual guru or a religious leader or a hero figure of the past that is speaking, but this is the Son of God, and we're listening to his words upon the page of Scripture, preserved down the centuries of time, so that we in 2010, November 2010, can sit together and hear the very words of the Lord Jesus, hear the very words of the Son of God as they echo from the page of Scripture, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a rich man brought forth plentifully. Now I don't know whether this man was a rich man because the ground brought forth plentifully, or whether he was a rich man already and the ground was bringing forth plentifully. But it says here that this was a certain rich man, and the ground, he was obviously a farmer, and the ground that he worked over was bearing forth much fruit. That would be every farmer's dream, wouldn't it? There's farmers that go through tough times, and it would be every farmer's dream to have the ground bring forth plentifully. Whether you're into arable farming, growing crops, or whether you're into animal farming, you would, that the ground would yield plentifully, so that there would be enough feed for the animals, so that there would be enough crops, so that there would be enough to send off to market, so that there would be enough to sell. And every farmer's dream would be that they could build bigger barns, that they could receive more fruit, that they would have more prosperity in their farming. And this man experienced that. And here he is. And the Lord Jesus is just telling a story. And he brings to us this illustration of this man who was a wealthy farmer. Really, he was in want for nothing, so he thought. My, there's many people, and I wonder if there's one in the meeting, or two, or wonder if there's a number in the meeting this evening. And really, the desire of life is that if I could just be prosperous in this life, if I could just prosper academically, if I could just prosper socially, if I could just prosper economically, if I could just prosper in some way, if I could flourish in this life, if I could be popular, if I could have money, if I could do well at university, that's all that really matters, is the here and now. And we kind of put away the thoughts of eternity and put away the thoughts of God. And this whole world is caught up in the here and now. Did we sing a hymn before we started? Have you any room for Jesus? Room for business, room for pleasure, but for Christ the crucified? There is room made for business, isn't there? room made for pleasure. We take time over those things. We make room for them in our lives. This man, he made room for his business. We would see that he was out to make room for his pleasure. He was to make room for his leisure. He was to make room for his retirement, for his social activities. And he really, if you had come across a man like this, you would say that he really had every boundary covered. He really had every field sorted out in his life. He was a wealthy man. He had so many crops, he hardly knew what to do with them. So many fruits. It was coming out of his ears, so to speak. And he thought within himself, what shall I do? I know what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns. I'll get greater storehouses. I'll fill them up with my fruits and then I'll sit back and just take it easy. I'm stocked up well for my retirement. Maybe superannuation. Sometimes we put out a little track. We spend 40 to 50 years of our lives working hard, saving hard, doing all that we can to prepare for the last 20 years of our lives, but do nothing about the great eternity that awaits. My dear friend, you know what was wrong with this man? Was it sensible to stock up for retirement? Of course it's sensible. Of course it's sensible to make sure that you can look after yourself and you're not just dependent on those around you. Of course it's sensible to be prosperous in business. And the Proverbs would speak to us of that, about the man who's a diligent man and not to be slothful and not to be lazy in life. And it's sensible, it's right to be diligent about what we put our hand to and to be fervent in our business life and to be fervent when it comes to our family life, our home life. So what was the problem? Well, you would find six times in the little reading that we've taken, the word I comes out. And you would find six times in the reading that we've taken, four times, that the word mine comes out. And you would find four times in the reading that we've taken, I will comes out. Two times I do, and two times I have. Six times, I. Four times, I will. My. Could I ask you a question this evening? Who gave this man his fruits? He sowed into the ground. I remember being with a farmer on one occasion in New South Wales in Australia. And we were driving through his farm and he had soya beans. And the harvest, it was almost ready for harvest time and the field was packed. My brother Len would know the farm. He's been to the very same farm of Peter Jackson in New South Wales. And as we drove through this farm, this man is a Christian man. And we drove past these fields that were ready to be harvested. They were just brimming with fruit, with produce. And he said to me, I've done well, haven't I? Done very well. He said, I put the seed into the ground. I've done very well for it to get to this stage, haven't I? And then he just nudged me. What could I do, Clive? What could I do? He said, I put the seed into the ground. What could I do? Could I bring the rain? Could I bring the sunrise? Could I cause the sun to rise? Could I cause the seed to grow? Could I cause it to bring forth much fruit? He said, I could do nothing. All I could do was put the seed into the ground and stand back and wait and watch. And the very God of heaven, the creator of the universe in which we dwell, caused the sun to rise, caused the seed to grow, caused it to produce fruit. Who gave you your breath today, friend? Who gave you the very food you've eaten? Have we been thankful for the food we've eaten today? Have I been thankful for the very breath I breathe into these lungs of mine? Or is it my breath, my food, my fruit, my money, my territory, my farm? And it was to this man. He had no regard for the God of heaven. I hope you have regard for the God of heaven. I hope you have regard that he's given you breath today. I hope you have regard that he's brought you into this meeting to hear the gospel of God's Son, that you may be saved, you may know salvation, and the very words of the Lord Jesus, the Savior of the world, is that we may come to him. Listen to his words from the gospel according to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You see, the world would call this man a smart man. They would call him a smart farmer. They would call him a person who's done well in his life. They would slap him on the back and say, "Well done, Jack. You've done very well. Look at all you've done. We're very proud of you. When you die, we'll make a memorial about you." What did God call him? God called him a fool. A fool is someone whose plans end at the grave. Where do your plans end? Have you prepared for eternity? There is the scripture, and it simply says these words, "Prepare to meet thy God." Are you prepared to meet God? I well remember a time when I wasn't prepared to meet God, but I knew I was going to meet God. And I remember saying little things like this to myself, that when I see God, I'll just tell him, "I've never read the Bible. Sorry, God, I've never read the Bible." Or some other feeble, pathetic, little whimsical excuse that I'll be able to pull the wool over God's eyes. Friend, you can never pull the wool over God's eyes. Are you prepared to meet God? Are you forgiven of your sins? The way has been made. God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. The Lord Jesus came, and his purpose of coming into the world was to go to Calvary's cross, where he would lay down his life and bear in his own body the judgment against sin, against my sin, against the sin of the world. And he would take the responsibility, and he would take the judgment from God. God must judge sin. And this man left God out of the reckoning. He left God out of the picture, and God called him a fool. His plans just simply finished at the grave, and he thought in his lifetime about himself. He presumed that the crops were his crops. He presumed that what he had got in his life was his things. Wouldn't this come teach us, as we would come again to the scriptures and read this verse, "For we came into the world, we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out." What did you bring into the world? Friend, what are you going to carry out? We're going to leave it all behind. We build big. And stock up. Leave God out of the picture. Leave the Lord Jesus out. Room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified. Have you come to know the Lord Jesus? Is he number one in your life? Is he your Lord, your Master, your Savior? Have you put your trust in him? Are you following him daily? Or is it pleasure, business, school, at work, retirement? Friends, You haven't got the Lord Jesus, you haven't got anything. And you can't have the Lord Jesus just tagged on to the end of your life. You can't have a life full of business and pleasure and a little bit of Jesus tagged on the end. And he's kind of a friend that you call on him when times get difficult. And apart from that, you're not really interested. And this is meaningless. Friend, repent. Come to the Lord Jesus. Here's the Lord Jesus giving us this simple illustration. That a man who stocks up and is rich on earth and is not rich towards God is a fool. I do pray there's no fool in the meeting. I do pray that each one knows personally what it is to rise in the morning and thank God for the very breath we breathe. Thank God for the very Saviour he sent. I will, I do, I have. You see, mankind measures what you have. God, he measures what you are. Mankind measures what I have. God measures what I am. And God determines what I am. You see, it doesn't matter to God what I have. It matters to mankind what I have. I noticed recently as I was driving through some streets, you would know the famous golfer in Australia, Greg Norman. Famous right throughout the world, many properties, many riches. And I noticed this area which has been devoted, a certain place in Australia which has been devoted to Greg Norman. Now they're naming the streets after him. And they've got the golf course after him. A self-made man, as it would seem. Again, as it would seem, I can only go by what it seems on the outside. But it would seem a man who's gathered riches in this life and gathered fame and popularity and is going to leave something behind as a little bit of a memory for a few years. But what is it in terms of God, my dear friend? The God who owns the universe. The cattle on 1,000 hills are his. Could we give anything to him that he doesn't have already? What could we boast of in front of God? Oh, they named a street after me. And I left them a load of riches. Friend, God would say, thou fool. Be wise this evening. Come to the Lord Jesus. Be rich toward God. Come. Trust the Lord Jesus. He is trustworthy. He is one who, the Son of God, came to this earth, came from the very bliss of eternal glory, came from heaven above, and the one who is eternal, co-equal with God. The one who is indeed God, manifest in the flesh, the one who is the eternal Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. The one, my dear friend, who took upon him humanity. Why? So that he could go to the cross of Calvary and bearing his own cross, he trod up Mount Calvary's hill. Why? To die for his own sins? No. So that he would lay down his life for guilty sinners, selfish, self-centered, self-righteous sinners like me and like you. For that's the only person I ever thought of until I came to the Lord Jesus. It was all about me, 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 what I can get, what I have, what I can do. And as men around me, measured what I have, I tried to ascertain and try to get more. Oh, friend, be wise. Come to the Lord Jesus. Really? The truth be known. We have nothing. We have nothing we can offer God. Even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. All we can do is come humbly before the very creator of the universe. The one who laid down his life 2,000 years ago, just outside the city walls of Jerusalem. Men took him and nailed him to the cross. The one who defeated death and rose again the third day. The one, my dear friend, who destroyed him that had the power of death, which is the devil. The one who has the ability, the power to give you life tonight, a real life. Life that's not just the accumulation of material things, but life in abundance that starts with the Lord Jesus Christ. Life that goes on into eternity. Life that shall never end. Be with him, to be like him, to be free of sin. Friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved.